Andy Strickland joins us once again from St. Louis. Andy, always good to have you on the program. What can you update us on Schwartz?
Jason, good to talk to you as always as well. Well, Schwartz obviously isn't here. You know, the Blues are going to hold a press conference for 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I fully expect the team to announce Jaden Schwartz hasn't reported to camp. Players are due to camp by tomorrow, first time on the ice on Friday. Now, things can certainly change. I mean, the two sides, like you mentioned, this is not a Kurt Oberhart versus Jarmo Kekäläinen / John Davidson / Bill Zito situation that's taking place in Columbus. You know, it's been relatively amicable. Obviously, once training camp starts and the player's not there, things can maybe get a little more, tensions. So we'll see. Our contention has shifted. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. But, again, we're talking about $3 million plus, somewhere in that range in terms of the differential between the Columbus and Ryan Johansson. It's not exactly the same situation with St. Louis. You know, my understanding that Jaden Schwartz and the Blues have agreed on a bridge contract in the term of 2 years. Could certainly be a one-year deal, and things can certainly change down the road as well. But Schwartz was looking for somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 million. The Blues want to pay him somewhere in the range of 2 to 2.3, maybe 2.4. And we'll have to wait and see who wins out on that one.
Okay, so they're not that far apart. This is one that, you know, you don't expect this dragging into the to the regular season, likely something that's done early in camp.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, the reality of the situation is the player doesn't have rights. He doesn't have arbitration rights. He can't get an offer sheet. That's not the case with Ryan Johansson, who can field an offer sheet. And I would think that he's hoping to get one sometime in the next 30 days to maybe force the hand of the Columbus Blue Jackets. But in the case of Schwartz, I mean, he doesn't have rights, and his side certainly understands that. They realize they have very little leverage. The leverage they do have is that Jaden Schwartz is a very good player, like you mentioned. He had 25 goals last season, north of 50 points, was among the league leaders in plus-minus all season long, top five pretty much all year long, in plus-minus among forwards. He's an impact player on a contending team, and that's the hammer they have right now, is the fact that he isn't in camp. If he's not here, he can't help the St. Louis Blues. And the Blues can certainly use Jaden Schwartz. But again, Doug Armstrong has been through this before, even as recent as last season with Alex Pietrangelo. Pietrangelo reported a day or two into camp. Really was never a real threat of him missing a good chunk of camp. And I would expect the same with Schwartz. I would expect to see him by the end of the weekend.
Schwartz's potential is, you know, and a lot of these contracts are potential, Andy, but you look at the Blues and, they, you know, Tarasenko, I think, is poised for a breakout season. What do you think, you know, is the long-term projections for Schwartz? Is this a guy who could be a top-line guy, you know, 65-point player, or is he more of a really solid second-line guy?
I don't think there's any question that he can be a first-line point producer in the National Hockey League on the left side. I mean, he's pretty versatile, too. He can play in the center position. But extremely underrated. I don't think enough fans know about this guy right now. I mean, he was the former captain of Canada's World Junior team. I saw him play in the USHL with Tri-City, where he was unbelievable at that age. I saw him play live for Colorado College when he went and moved on with his career there. Best player on the ice. This guy has produced at every level he's been at. He broke records that were held by Vinny LeCavalier and Brad Richards at Notre Dame High School, where he comes from, the prep school there. He's been a phenom since he was a young kid, even for an undersized player. He played a relatively big game, not in terms of finishing checks, but his ability to protect the puck, his ability to get separation from bigger players with his tight turns. A phenomenal skater. He's got an extra gear. I don't think he gets enough credit for how explosive he can be. And a dynamic playmaker. This guy scored 25 goals a year ago. His ceiling is certainly north of 30, and his ceiling as a point producer should be somewhere in the 70 to 75 point range for several years down the road. He's still a very young hockey player.
Andy Strickland joins us from St. Louis talking about the Blues. And, man, with the addition of Stastny, you throw in Steen and Backes and Oshie and Berglund, obviously Tarasenko. I think Schwartz gets signed. Then you've got two new guys, Jori Lehterä. Where do you see him fitting in offensively with the Blues right now?
Well, it's a real interesting situation with him because the Blues certainly know about him. They drafted him several years ago. They've been trying to get him to come over from the KHL even though he comes from Finland. That's who he represented in the recent Olympics and the World Championships. And they really liked his game in terms of how he did and handled himself going up against bona fide NHL stars. Handled himself really, really well. So, you know, he's a guy who's going to get a great opportunity, I can tell you that. He's going to get an opportunity to play a top-nine role, be a third-line centerman, play with pretty good players. Right now they have him written down as being a guy who's going to play with Tarasenko. Now we'll see how long that stays, because I could see a guy like Tarasenko eventually playing with a Jan Spassny or David Backes as one of the top two centers when you consider how dangerous he is, and he's the most dangerous offensive player. So why wouldn't you put him with your best playmaking centerman, which in this case is going to be Paul Sastin. But Letera is certainly a wild card. He was a top-five scorer in the KHL, a really good offensive player, and he's bigger than I thought he was. He's pretty tall, to be honest with you. He's got some good size, and you can see the skill level in his game just by watching him in some of the summer skates. But again, I'm always a little bit hesitant until guys do it in the NHL level. He's done it everywhere else. Now it's his chance to do it in the toughest league in the world.
Andy, I was reading some of your articles and tweets talking about how, you know, the Blues plan on divvying up ice time. I think David Backes had like 70% of his shift start in the defensive zone, and maybe that led to fatigue or what have you. What's Ken Hitchcock talking about? Like, is he maybe building this season more towards the playoffs rather than ensuring they finish first in their conference, if you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think there's any question, but still, they're going to be one of the more, if not the most difficult team to play against in the regular season. And that's what all the top teams say about the St. Louis Blues during the regular season. It's how hard they are to play against. But I think you and I have talked about this before, and I've mentioned this, that, you know, really watching how Joel Quenneville utilizes his bench. He's been doing that since the days he was here in St. Louis, and it's carried over to his time now in Chicago. Probably doesn't rely on the same players to get it done in every situation. He wants to put those players in position to succeed. He wants them to have energy to do what they do best. In the case of a guy like Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane or Marian Hossa, they've got the energy to play offense because he's got guys like Kruger. And last year he had Hamzus, who could take important defensive zone faceoffs. Who could be the first two players over the boards in PK situations, then you don't even see Hossa and Toews until the last 15, 20 seconds of a penalty kill. So they're fresh. Again, you look at the St. Louis Blues over recent years. You mentioned David Backes. 70% of his shifts started last season in the defensive zone. And I had some people contact me via Twitter, some people from the NHL networks, and guys were saying, hey, our numbers don't show that, but these are based off of the analytics the Blues utilize in-house. And this is coming from Ken Hitchcock, who told me this just recently. And that number seemed really high for a team like St. Louis that spends so much of the game outside of their own end, for him to start 70 of his shifts inside his own end. But 85% of those came on the right side in PK situations, and close to 60% of his shifts, or over 50% of his shifts, I should say, 5-on-5 started in the defensive end. If they can reduce that total number to 50%, the Blues are going to be in pretty good shape, especially if they want David Backes to go out there and be a 25-30 goal scorer as he has been much of his career.
Andy Strickland joining us from St. Louis. The St. Louis Blues, one of the top teams in the league, and only get better once they sign Jaden Schwartz. With the addition of Stastny, if you had to put it on paper right now, I know we got a lot of guys who play fantasy hockey. Who do you see as the top two lines, and what's going to be the first line combo and the second line combo?
And let me just finish off what I was saying a few seconds ago. So in the past, you know, Ken Hitchcock basically has relied on David Backes, guys like Alex Steen, TJ Oshie, to be the guy to play in every situation. First player over the boards in PK, first player over the boards, power play, every important defensive zone faceoff, every important offensive zone faceoff. So you're going to see Ken Hitchcock include more players this year, and he's got a number of guys to choose from. As for Paul Stastny, he's going to start the season right now playing with Alex Steen, certainly a guy who had a career season offensively last year, more than 30 goals for Steen, and he's going to have a chance, at least the first crack of playing with a guy like Stastny. The line is long of guys who are lining up who want to play with Paul Stastny. I mean, the Blues have not had a legitimate playmaking for quite some time. He's a guy who brings that game. I mean, David Backes is more of a north-south player. He finishes checks. He can certainly make plays, and he can score some goals as well, and he's certainly responsible inside his own end, but he probably doesn't have the vision that a guy like, well, the passing ability that a guy like Paul Stastny has. So you're going to see right off the bat him playing with Alex Steen, and the competition on the right side is going to be interesting. Will they put Tarasenko there? Right now the talk is having Tarasenko play with Letera. We'll see how long that continues. But on the right side, outside of Ocean, then we're talking about a competition going on with a guy nobody's talking about in Peter Mueller. The Blues gave him $350,000 guaranteed to come play for the St. Louis Blues. Not a two-way contract. Last season led the league, the top league in Switzerland in goals. He was third overall in points. He looks really good to me, and the Blues are going to give him every opportunity. He could secure a spot on the right side once this team breaks camp and gets ready for the regular season.
Wow, that's interesting. Of course, former number 8 overall pick, and you know, maybe he's a guy who finally...
Well, he's competing with a young guy who you know, Jason Greger, Dmitry Yaskin, who spent some time with the Blues last season. They brought another kid over who spent some time with the Colorado Avalanche a few years back. He's one of Alex Steen's best friends. He's played the last several years in Sweden, a kid by the last name of Lidström. They got Magnus Pajärvi, who you guys are familiar with. They got a number of guys who will be competing for a spot on the right side, on you know, in a top 9 role. They've got Ryan Reeves, who pretty much has that spot locked up on the fourth line. I didn't even bring up this Nasty, who's in camp on a tryout, and we'll see if he finds a home. They have a lot of players, and it's listen, I love training camp when there's competition. It may not be competition for, you know, the first line or a top 6 spot, even though we'll see how that sorts itself out. But there's competition to make the team offensively and defensively.
Andy, always great to talk hockey with you. It should be interesting to see the Blues and who lines up where, and especially once Schwartz gets signed. Appreciate your time.
All right, Jason. We'll talk soon, man. You take care.
You betcha. Andy Strickland.